Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Higher education online. Is it an effective way to get a college degree for a lot less money? We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. But first, artificial sweeteners. They represent a $6 billion industry. Are they an effective and safe way to lose weight and curb illnesses associated with obesity? Reading the product's claims would seem to indicate that they are. However, there are two schools of thought. With us to sort it all out, Susan Hansen, assistant professor in the Department of Nutrition and Dietetics at St. Louis University. She joins me in studio. Joining us by phone is Sarah Krieger, a registered dietitian for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, an organization of food and nutrition professionals. She joins us from Florida. We'll be joined in a bit by Kate Bengston, nutrition manager at Panera Bread Company in St. Louis. Panera recently decided to ban artificial sweeteners, flavors, and preservatives from menu items. Susan and Sarah, thank you so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah, I'd like to begin with you. Do you think that artificial sweeteners get a bad rap, or are concerns about them justified?
There are concerns by consumers. Understandably, what the media portrays, hot topic of the day with whatever artificial sweetener has been studied recently, that tends to make news, and people react to that. But the bottom line is that a lot of the research has been coming together, and what we know is that a collaboration of many years with all of the 7 FDA-approved sweeteners for the U.S., it is safe to consume non-nutritive and additional sugars in moderation as long as everything is part of an overall balanced diet.
All right. Well, Susan, let me turn to you and get your take on that. Do you agree?
Whether artificial sweeteners are safe?
Yeah, whether they get a bad rap or not, yeah.
Well, I think possibly the reason they're getting a bad rap is that the toxicity studies raise fear in us. And if we are afraid of something, we focus on it with a vengeance.
Yeah.
Too much could certainly cause problems. But used in moderation, no.
Is there not a toxic element to some of these sweeteners? I mean, again, you cited the media, and that's sort of the thing that we read.
So most of the sweeteners have been tested in extremely large quantities to test what level is safe. And the amounts that they test are absolutely more than what a typical consumer would consume in one day and over a lifetime. So, but when you consume anything in excess, you're going to have side effects. You know, even water and baby carrots, your body will let you know. So that's what sometimes gets misinterpreted, possibly, is the amount. But we would never encourage anyone to consume any food or drug, for that matter, in excess of what we would consider normal consumption.
Go ahead. Did you want to add something to that, Susan? Go ahead.
I would love to. Based on some of the research that shows what is an acceptable level of the different sweeteners that have been approved that Sarah talked about, we would know that a 50-pound child would want to limit their intake of diet soda to 1 can a day, just to be on the safe side, or 22 packets of sucralose, whereas an adult might be able to consume up to 97 packets of aspartame or 17 12-ounce cans of diet soda. So like Sarah mentioned, the acceptable daily intake is quite high for these after testing in various research labs. But for children, the number is totally different.
That is quite stark, Sarah.
I absolutely agree with that as well. Right, when you take a 50-kilo person and compare it to a 10-kilo child, of course, somebody who is much smaller metabolizes everything, you know, in greater amounts. So I absolutely agree with that statement. And with any food that has added sugars or added artificial sweeteners, what are the foods that they are part of? Is it a yogurt? Is it a fruit drink? If it's just diet soda, then, of course, that is not a stellar nutrition food to start with. So for growing children, I would say if they're getting yogurt and it has a little bit of added sugar and or added artificial sweetener, the fact that they're eating yogurt with calcium and vitamin D kind of trumps the fact that they're consuming something with added sugar.
Keeping away from weight loss, weight gain, and toxicity and what have you, let's just compare the artificial sweeteners to sugar. And Susan, let me turn to you for this. Weighing one against the other, how about sugar? I mean, sugar has some problems as well, does it not?
Well, I guess I'd like to start by saying that I like the taste of sweet. So I was introduced.
Many people do.
I was introduced to sweets as a child, and so I like to go back to that at least once a week. Now, some folks have a higher tolerance or lower tolerance. They want sugar more often, and there's an opportunity for mothers and families to help a child develop good eating habits that keep the level of sugar low enough so that when Christmas comes, it's a treat, it's a special event, and they enjoy all the sugar they want, you know, on rare occasions. My take on the difference between sugar and artificial sweeteners would be that by taking in actual sugar or honey or molasses or dates or bananas or adding fruit for flavor or roasted vegetables for the sweet, we're able to maintain a different level of sweetness in our diets so that we can appreciate the sweet when we do get it.
Well, clearly we want it, but Sarah, I need to turn to you with regard to this. How would you weigh sugar vis-a-vis an artificial sweetener in terms of what it does for you, how good it is for you or is not for you?
I agree with all points that Susan just mentioned. We are born naturally with a taste for sweet. Every other taste, like bitter and salty and sour, are more acquired. But the sweet, you know, infants love it, young children, and we just get used to that. The amounts of added sugar in our food supply definitely are more than what it was 100 years ago. Everyone agrees with that. So, yes, as purchasers, as consumers in a grocery store, we almost have too many choices of added sugar or added non-nutritive sweeteners in food. So taking a step back and going back to basics, fruits and vegetables, our whole grains, our lean protein, our dairy without added sugars, buy those in excess, and everything else, if you add a little bit of brown sugar to squash to make it taste a little bit better, that's great. But when you're consuming most of your calories from sugar, and it's actually recommended that we get less than 10% of our calories from added sugars. We consume, most of our calories from nutritious foods, a little bit of sugar, dare I say even every day, is acceptable as long as the overall diet is pretty nutritious.
When you say a little bit of sugar, what do you mean? Are you talking about a teaspoon and a cup of coffee? Or are you talking about a teaspoon,
exactly.
20 times?
Exactly. We're going back to the 10 kilo person versus the 50 kilo person. It depends the size and it depends how many calories you're taking in. So if a person is consuming, let's say 2,000 calories, then less than 200 of those should be from added sugars every day.
So Don, okay? With your build, just being a good looking, tall, handsome young man,
I could have 50 pounds of sugar a day.
You're probably looking at a diet 1,800 to 2,000 calories a day. Mm-hmm. 10%, 200 calories. A teaspoon of sugar is only 16 calories. A can of pop is 9 teaspoons of sugar. Yeah. So if you drank a regular can of soda,
that's a problem.
And
that clearly is a problem with regard to young people today. They drink a lot of that, and obesity is a problem among the young. But back to the artificial sweeteners, and Sarah, let me come back to you. Is it a true claim that artificial sweeteners help you lose weight?
That's the question of the day, right?
Right.
And there's been some conflicting research. However, there was another study that just came out in May of Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and in favor of diet products helping the obese lose weight, and those that took in more of the artificial sweetened products did lose more weight, and it's because at the end of the day, it was a calorie issue. Now, with children, though, do I say, yes, pound the diet drinks every day, that's how you will lose weight? Absolutely the opposite. The bottom line is whatever foods that you enjoy, I would encourage in moderation, whether it's a diet soda, whether it's a regular soda. The bottom line is you have to have them once in a while. And we encourage what I was saying earlier, just a huge variety of fruits and vegetables, showing people what they can eat instead of saying, well, you really should not eat this, because that's negative and that's not fun. So dietitians are awesome at giving people, families, children, recipe ideas, menu ideas to keep the excitement going for a healthy lifestyle, including weight loss, instead of just saying, well, you can't eat this, because there are a lot of options out there and there is a food for everybody. So meeting with a dietitian, nutritionist, is definitely the way to go to get a personalized meal plan so that a person, especially with food sensitivities or allergies, can live their life to the fullest and still enjoy eating.
Susan, one of the things that I have heard, though, is that artificial sweeteners can be kind of a trigger, that they make you want more sweets. And sometimes what you turn to is not of the artificial variety. It's the cupcake, it's the piece of cake, whatever. Mm-hmm. You agree?
I do. My doctoral work was in the neurosciences. Mm-hmm. And before going back for my doctorate, I learned as much as I could about the field of nutrition and chemistry. And so I truly appreciate what the effects of food have on the brain. And because I focused on developmental changes and gender differences in metabolism, I have concerns about the use of artificial in the brain and how it will affect future generations. So when we're talking about what's safe and whether it helps us lose weight, I might point out a famous study in 1997 conducted by Blackburn and published through the Harvard Medical School, but funded by NutraSweet, that showed that aspartame can be used responsibly in a weight loss program and it helps people keep weight off. But like when you talk about the palates, I think Nancy Solomon mentioned it earlier today. She said she retrained her palate when she was told she had gestational diabetes. Sometimes we're faced with a health decision that changes our diet going forward. And I've seen many families change their palates and retrain their children's expectations of what's good and healthy in a meal because of a health concern. And so if someone does have obesity or diabetes or metabolic syndrome, this is a perfect opportunity to possibly use an artificial sweetener as a crutch, but to really retrain the palate.
Can the artificial sweeteners confuse our bodies, Sarah?
Can they confuse our bodies?
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line here is that we still, when it depends on how much a person is consuming, and that is where, you know, a dietitian would have to assess how much are you really eating. And for a person who is eating a lot of, you know, added sugar, added salt, added, you know, added fat foods, and stepping away from, you know, simple one ingredient foods, then I agree with Susan. Yes, you can go back to appreciating foods in their most natural or close to farm raised as possible, and then adding back small amounts. Go back to just what a carrot tastes like by itself, and then roast it and see what happens. Absolutely, you can go back to the basics. So I think a full assessment, and we can't say all Americans are eating the same way. It's too broad. It really has to go down to the individual person.
I'm going to have to take a break now. We are talking about artificial sweeteners and nutrition, and my guests are Susan Hansen, with me in studio, assistant professor in the Department of Nutrition and Dietetics at St. Louis University. Joining us by phone is Sarah Krieger, a registered dietitian for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. If you'd like to get into this conversation, we'd love to hear your take on artificial sweeteners, for them or against them. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org, and we will take a tweet at STL on air. Back in just a moment, this is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with Susan Hansen, Assistant Professor in the Department of Nutrition and Dietetics at St. Louis University, and with Sarah Krieger, a registered dietitian for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. We have a number of calls, ladies. Folks want to get into this conversation. Let's bring them in. We'll start with Ramsey calling from St. Louis. Ramsey, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Don, and to your guests.
Hi.
I have a question. I am a diabetic of over 30 years. I'm a senior. I use artificial sweeteners, and it's mainly in stuff like tea. If I cook something, the new one called Circulose, using that, are those items dangerous, or the longevity of me using an artificial sweetener? Lemonade and tea is basically what I use it in.
All righty, well, let's start with Susan. Are you ready to respond?
Ramsey, I applaud you for calling. Having diabetes is a very difficult thing, and you've been at it for 30 years now. Are you doing well with your diabetes control?
Yes, I am, because being postmenopausal, my blood pressure went up, so I have to, yes. As far as I'm concerned, I am.
Very good.
But I had heard, don't know if it's true or not, that it could affect your memory.
Well, without knowing a lot about you, Ramsey, if you're limiting your use of artificial sweeteners to, say, less than a teaspoon a day or small amounts to sweeten your tea, you're probably going to be safe. You might want to visit with your dietitian about alternatives that possibly include squeezing lemon or adding fruit or other ways to bring sweetness into your tea or lemonade, but small amounts of artificial sweetener shouldn't hurt you.
Anything you want to add to that, Sarah?
The only thing that came to mind is if you're saying that sucralose or aspartame are the only ones that you're using for tea and you don't have any other added sucralose products like yogurt, because sometimes it can be combined with added sugars too. So just take a look to see how much you're getting overall from everything. But if it's just the tea and you're having that a few times a day, then that's an absolutely appropriate amount.
I suppose moderation in all things is what we want to emphasize here today, correct?
Amen.
That's the key message.
Let's take another call. This one from Carl calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Carl.
Hi. My question is this, and I've just tuned in, so you may have covered it, but what about stevia versus other sweeteners?
Oh, stevia is quite the new kid on the block, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We've got stevia that's rather new, a natural sweetener, and the monk fruit family that Johnson & Johnson is selling as Nutress. Mm-hmm. Those are more natural, so those would be approved by the FDA through a different category than the artificial sweeteners like saccharin, sucrose, cyclamates, acesulfame, and others. These would be so safe that they would be approved as generally recognized as safe. Definitely excellent choices if you want sweetener.
As I mentioned earlier on the program, St. Louis-based Panera Bread is going to remove artificial sweeteners, colors, and flavors from its food products by the year 2016. I spoke earlier with Kate Bengston, Panera Nutrition Manager here in St. Louis, and asked her why Panera is making this move.
For us, taste is the driving factor, and we believe that clean and simple ingredients create the best-tasting soups, salads, and sandwiches. And, I mean, we've really been on this journey towards clean and simple ingredients for years now, and we're committed to sourcing and serving high-quality ingredients without artificial additives like artificial preservatives, colors, flavors, and artificial sweeteners as well. We just believe they don't need to be in your food.
Well, you know, a lot of people have mixed feelings about the artificial sweeteners. Is there any concern amongst you and yours that they could perhaps be even dangerous or counterproductive or counter to what the proponents say they can do for us?
I agree. It does seem like there's a fair amount of stigma against our artificial sweeteners, but Panera always goes back to taste as the driving factor, and we believe that these simple ingredients taste better, and our customers definitely take notice.
What would you be replacing the sweeteners with?
either natural sweeteners. We have replaced artificial sweeteners with stevia or other natural sweeteners, or have been able to just take them out completely.
What about soda? Will that, I mean, you serve things like Coca-Cola and some of the commercial products at Panera, do you not?
Correct, we do. And we are evaluating all of our options, especially in the beverage area, for consideration to be reformulated. And we will continue to evaluate those products throughout the next couple of years.
I know it's not going to go into effect until 2016, but have you had any early reaction from customers at all?
Most of the time from customers since we've made this public food policy, it's been positive feedback. So if anything, I think we've had positive reaction from customers.
How is Panera going to promote this change?
Well, we think that, again, customers will vote with their stomachs, and we will eventually have public-facing announcements in the cafes. We made a food policy announcement back in June, and we will follow that up throughout the year.
May I ask you your personal views with regard to artificial sweeteners in particular?
Well, today I'm just here to talk about Panera's views, and I do agree that, you know, taste being one of the main reasons why we wanted to remove artificial sweeteners. I think that if you've ever had food with an artificial sweetener in it, you can usually tell that there is one in the food. So I completely agree with Panera's view on that.
Okay, we want to thank our guest here, Katie Bengston from Panera, for being with us. And Sarah, let me come back to you. Do you think this is likely to be a trend that companies, restaurants, and what have you are going to be turning away from artificial sweeteners and other artificial ingredients?
In the food business, restaurants, quick service, and grocery stores, taste trumps everything, and that trend will not go away. So if something does not taste great, people will not buy it. So, yes, anyone who is in the business of creating a food product, if it doesn't taste awesome, then your business is down. So businesses have to listen to consumers if they want to stay in business. And so that trend of always having, you know, interesting combinations of food, which is great, you know, keep being innovative. It's great because we want people to eat the most nutritious they can, and we want businesses to succeed as well.
I wonder, she mentioned something else, and I'll get comments from both of you on this. She mentioned that they're doing away with artificial preservatives as well. And I just wonder which might be, I don't want to use the word threat, but a greater concern to a consumer, and that is an artificial sweetener and artificial preservative. Let me start with you, Susan.
Actually, the research shows that the artificial sweeteners typically pass through the body unmetabolized, which means that they're not entering lipophilic tissues, they're not being deposited in the brain. They are, unfortunately, passed to the fetus. So if a pregnant woman is drinking artificial sweeteners in her beverages, the child, or the infant, mm-hmm. or in utero, the fetus, you call it,
sure.
is being exposed to that. I lost my train of thought.
Well, with regard to preservatives vis-a-vis artificial sweeteners, preservatives a source of concern.
They are.
Right.
Anything artificial.
Anything artificial. Okay. Sarah, to you with that question, your thoughts.
Okay. Well, my bottom line with preservatives is that there is a reason that there's an additive in the food, maybe to prevent molding. You know, most of them are added salt, you know, for different, especially in a bakery with bread. If someone buys bread and they don't want it to last more than a day, then you get just the flour and the water and salt variety. If you're going camping for a week and you want to have your bread last all week, then you should buy a store shelf-stable bread. So there are different reasons for food additives, and if you've ever been in a power outage, you would probably appreciate some foods that have been gone through a process to be more shelf stable.
I think of an interview I've done in the past with Michael Pollan, who is well known to folks in your industry, I'm sure. And he talks about a Twinkie that he bought 10 years ago, and he still has it on his desk. And he can lift that up and squeeze it, and it's seemingly just as fresh as it was the day that he bought it 10 years ago.
And have you heard they're creating apples now that won't turn brown when you cut them?
No, I hadn't heard
genetically
that.
Genetically, yes.
Well, the things that we can do. Let's put a bottom line on this. We have to leave this segment. Sarah, let me turn to you. What best advice can you give our listeners and consumers with regard to artificial sweeteners?
My bottom line is that all Americans can enjoy a range of nutritive, which means added sugar, and non-nutritive, which are the artificial sweeteners, as long as you are balancing it with fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean protein, low-fat dairy, and enjoying the occasional added sugar or non-nutritive sweetener, but the overall lifestyle should be nutritious with a healthy weight and all of medical conditions controlled.
Right. Eat smart. And how about you,
Eat
Susan?
Smart, yeah.
Yeah, Susan,
thank you.
Your bottom line?
Since the difference between a normal weight person and an overweight person really comes down to what their palate is, what your expectation is, I would say if you're struggling with sweets and you're continually drawn to sweets and you crave the artificial sweeteners, you might want to examine why. And if you retrain your palate or decide to fill your diet with a few more foods and healthy sweeteners, fruits, vegetables, healthy, you'll see that problem go away.
All right. I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Susan Hansen from St. Louis University and Sarah Krieger with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Thank you so much for being with us and giving us your insight on this issue of artificial sweeteners. Enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nice having you with us. I thank Kate Bengston, too, from Panera Bread for being with us. Coming up, online education, is it the future? This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.